Voilà. Soit c'est un mort, soit. So I explain this. Perhaps the general definition of this rational holotropy theory in the first part. So what, mainly what I'd like to do in this second part is to explain how to compute this realization of the cohomology of the continuation spaces, so the cohomology of the continuation spaces first. The abstract structure, which is the same as the characterization of a Poisson corpus, a minus one Poisson corpus, the components of the Poisson. And that's where the Renfeld Connolly algebras show up. Okay, so I'm going to explain the definition of this algebras, and then I'll use that to define this realization. And then I'll see if I'm going to give a explain the idea of a proof of the intensive formality theorem. And I have also some extra slides about what I mentioned at the beginning, the fact that Drenfeld associators can be used to get such a formality recurrences in dimension 2, which I have here for reference, which is seen in the slides. So first I want to explain this definition of the Drenfeld-Connolly algebra. So I'm going to start with the classical the Drenfeld-Connolly algebra. So it's a collection of three algebras, P hat of R. So the hat just means that I consider a complete version of this algebra as opposed to the right range versions. And these algebras are defined by a presentation, by the frame presentation. So this L is the free algebra. And what I'm considering is the free algebra on a collection of generators, Tij. So this moment I'm dealing with ungraded algebra. So this just the element of a Q module. And there is a Tij associated to each pair of distinct indices, I and J. And I'm assuming that this symmetry relation, Tij is supposed to be Tj1. So this is something which corresponds to the case where the dimension is 2. So there is no sign for the moment. Okay. You have such a general. So it sounds. You have also. So to take this completely algebras. Completely algebra generated by these elements, okay, and you take the quotient of this completely algebra by an ideal of relations. So first you take the commutation relations, which says that the Lie bracket of Tij and Tkl is equivalent to zero for all quadruple of pairwise distinct indices. So this means that I'm taking the transitive closure of not equal to, so I'm assuming that I is different from J, I is different from K, I is different from L, and so on. Okay. So this is a pairwise distinct. Okay. So it means that if the generators Tij and Tk have disjoint supports, they commute. And you also assume the Young-Baxter relation, which has this form, which says that Tij, Tik plus Tj, K is zero, and this time for all triples of pairwise distinct indices, of tuples. So sometimes it's called the algebra of infinitesimal brights, because it's related to the Maltsev completion of a pure breakout. In the next slide, I'm also going to consider the complete enveloping algebras of SV algebras. And this complete enveloping algebras, you can define them by the same presentation, except that you consider now a complete tensor algebra instead of a complete algebra. So this is the complete algebra, and this is the complete tensor algebra. The ideal in this complete tensor algebra generated by the same relation, except that now the bracket of U and V just represent the commutator of U and V, and for the moment there is no sign. Sign will occur when I will consider an extension in the n-dimensional case. So, and for the complete tensor algebra, computed Robin algebra, people often use in the Vassiliev invariant theory is the Kant diagram picture. So it's a way to represent the monomials. See, the complete algebra is spanned by monomials on the Cij's. And the Kant diagram picture is some way to represent it's a graphical representation of S monomials. So here's an example. This monomials in the engrossing algebra of PR can be depicted by a Kant diagram on R strands. And in this example, you see I'm just adding a chord. So the first factor T12, which is materialized by this chord, which joins the first strand to the second strand. So this is. This corresponds to this factor. This corresponds to the second factor. The third factor is T36. So I draw a chord between the first strand and the sixth strand. And the last one is T24. Okay. And in this presentation, if you look at the commutator relation, so the commutator relation just say that if you consider chords with this don't support and they just commute, you can commute the chord in this case, and the young vector relation has this form. Okay, so you see this term minus this one, no, this term minus this one represents the commutator of Tij and Tik, and this term minus this one represents the commutator of Tij and Tjk. The unit vector relation means that you have this Kant diagram identity. So now the claim. So you just have a collection of three algebras so far. And the claim that this collection of three algebras inherits an upper structure in the case of completely algebras. So I use notation p hat for this upper, which is formed by the collection of simple colony algebras. And if I consider the algebras of Kant diagrams, so forgetting the coefficients here. Then what I get is not right, the category of complete half algebras. Okay. So the reaction of the symmetric group is obvious, which is just in this picture, the reaction of the symmetric group is just given by the permutation of a strand in D6. So for instance, if I want the reaction of 1 and 3, this world, this means that I just consider, I just permute frame 1. This means that in this algebraic picture, I get T32, T32, T16, T24. And you have also upper decomposition operations. So upper in B algebra means that the upper decomposition operations as domain, the direct sum of the algebras Pk and Pn. So I again forgotten the completion. And the result is an element in Pk plus A minus 1. And if you pass to enveloping algebras, what you get is a map from the tensor product of the completion of U of Pk and the completion of U of tensor product to the completion of U of Pn to this guy. Okay, so we're going to put it in the But this is just because the Lovelace equivalence the enveloping algebra carries direct sums of free algebras to tensor products. And the best is to give a picture of this composition operation, which is the following one. Okay, so you see I'm starting with an element with a codiagram on three strands. Here I'm taking a codiagram of two strands, so it's k is 3, l is 2. And the result should be something with four strands. And in this case, k is 3, l is 2, what you get is something with four strands. And the basic idea is to take this codiagram and to plug it in the second strand here. So you replace this strand and this codiagram, and you see in this case, so you still perform the standard indexing shift. Yes, this is the right codiagram. The sounds are indexed by 2 and 3. And you see in this example, you have a chord, you join 1 to 2. And basically what you do is to sum over all attached, you attach this chord, you can attach it to 2, to a strand number 2, or to a strand number 3, in the inserted chord diagram. Basically what you do is just sum over all possibilities.
Can I ask, and maybe only vocabulary, what's the difference between the co-simplicial structure and the organic structure? We used to work with this and call it a co-simplicial structure. That is, you put strands and you put them together. So is it different? Or?
No, it's almost a standard operation. Yeah.
No, it's a standard operation, that's clear. Yeah. But co-simplicial and organic.
But the point that you can, that's a general statement, you can use corpus to determine co-simplicial structures.
Okay. Yeah. So co-operat determines the co-simplicial structure?
Yeah.
And so not quite
an operat that I can use to determine co-simplicial structure.
And vice versa.
If it's
in fact, you need more actually.
The multiplication, the only thing you need
what you get is that an operat with a multiplication map, so it's an operat under versus an operat, determines a co-simplicial object.
Okay.
And this is what is used, for instance, to buy Fury to reconstruct embedding spaces or spaces of long knots from a past function.
That's
nice.
If there are more things connected to a strand,
then you get more terms.
Sum or all possibilities.
All possibilities, yeah. So I have this guy. So far I'm just considering the plane case where n is two-dimensional case where you have no differential rate structure nor rate. So now what I'd like to do is to use this object, the manifold Connolly algebras, to determine the variation of n minus 1 plus son curve. So you have a reminder. So if I forget in the first step, I'm going to forget about the operat structure and focus on the commutative digital algebra structure of this cohomology. So this is a reminder, the Barnard computation. The cohomology of the confluence points of R points in D2, it's given by this presentation, so it's a symmetric algebra and generators, omega ij. Okay. Which in the two-dimensional case, the generators have degree 1, and they satisfy this symmetry relation. Okay, there is one generator assigned to each pair, and you divide this take the question of this symmetric character log over the IDO generated by phase solutions. The claim is that you can use the Lehmfeld Connolly algebra to produce the suitable resolution of this commutative algebra. So this commutative algebra is not well behaved because you have an ideal of fraction in it. What you can do is the frame. You start, take so this C upper star CE of PR, so this is the Chevalier-Lemberg complex, the Chevalier-Lemberg-Cochet complex of PR, of this algebra. So basically, if you look at the definition of a Chevalier-Lemberg-Cochet complex, what it is, it's a symmetric algebra in the great sense, on something which is a desuspension of the dual, the continuous dual of this algebra. So this sigma minus 1 means the desuspension. It just puts P at R dual in degree 1. Differential is just the differential. Okay, which is given by the usual formula. Okay, so in general it is given as an exterior algebra, and you can also regard this exterior algebra as a great commutative symmetric algebra on the suspension of the dual, the continuous dual of your algebra. And this commutative algebra is good, it is free, it is a symmetric algebra if you forget about the differential. And this implies that it has good homotopical properties in the case of DG commutative algebra. And the claim now is that you have a map which goes to this chain complex, to this commutative DG algebra, to the homology. To this commutative algebra. And this map is a quasi-iso. So here I have a Chevalier-Lemberg differential. Here I'm taking a trivial differential. This is just a so the idea. So here you regard the commutative algebra, it is just a graded commutative algebra as a differential graded commutative algebra equipped with a zero differential. And the claim is that you have a map which goes from this commutative integer algebra to this one, which induces an isoid commutative. Yeah.
You know, this quadratic algebra is Kajul.
Yeah, it's Kajul.
And Kajul deal with precisely universal enveloping. Therefore, this result falls from Kajulness, which is this by other people. But other two people have forgot their names.
Yeah.
Maybe it's not Kono who the first who did it, right?
Yeah.
These two, because it's
Kajul. It stands for Kajul.
Yeah.
Sorry?
Oleksandr Solomon. They proved it.
Right, maybe. Yeah.
It falls immediately.
Okay, yeah. So this is an example of a Kajul algebra. You see, it's a quadratic algebra, it's a quadratic tensor algebra, you have a commutation relation, this relation, and also this relation, all are quadratic, it is Kajul. If you compute the Kajul dual, you get the enveloping algebra of PR. You get exactly the representation of the enveloping algebra. And this implies that and this is the statement of Kajul duality, and this kappa stands for the Kajul map, actually.
You mean it does not use the formality of pure break groups, which is Kono's theorem.
It's not Kono. And that's what you. And the map is given by this mapping. So you see this. So everything is equipped with the right reading, and you see its relations are homogeneous. And in the real algebra. Go back. And here the variations are homogeneous too. Okay, so this means that this algebra splits as a Cartesian product of homogeneous components. Okay. And the map here is given by carries the so and considering the group basis of the generator. So the group basis element of generators Zij are carried to omega ij. And the dual of basis element of weights larger than 1 are sent to 0. And the claim that this map is a, so it, you can really check by hand that this map is well defined, carries the differential here to 0. And the Kossuth duality implies that this map is a quasi algebra. So we, the point is now we can use this guy to compute the realization of this commutative algebra. Before computing this, so you can use this, so this statement. So if I want to compute the, this realization, I'll go back to this object very soon. It can be given by the set of maps on this Schroeder Hilbert complex.
But what, is it 2 or n? Because the title says n minus 1.
Yeah, for,
n
moment, is 2. For a moment, n is 2. Okay.
It's still 2.
For a moment, it's still 2. Okay. Mm-hmm. Things don't change very much in the dimension. Mm. So, in the case where n is 2, what you simply get is that you. Yeah, so this was, you get only this, you have a symmetry, the plane symmetry relation here.
It's still 2.
And p. In this complex, the gas suspension just puts this p check in degree 1. And now there's some observation by Dimitri Tamarkin that this Tichy algebras iterate composition complex 2. Okay, you see, I'm again using this, the usual trick. So I'm taking the body composition of the, that's a net here. So I'm taking the Rapani composition of the Lanfranconi algebra of prime. By contravariant factorality, this Rapani composition induces a map from the Cauchyan complex of this algebra to the Cauchyan complex, the Schrödinger Cauchyan complex of the direct sum. And now you know that in the case of the Schrödinger complex, if you can consider the algebra which are reasonably degree-wise from the degenerated. Then you have a QNF map again, which is an isomorphism of the Cauchyan level. Okay, so you can compose this map with the inverse of this QNF isomorphism to get a good composition product, which goes from this Cauchyan DG algebra to a tensor product of this Cauchyan DG algebra. So, the collection of STGL algebras does form the Hopf DG corpora. Okay. And furthermore, if you inspect the definition of a Kono map, the Kossuth map, then you can check that it preserves corpora structures, which means that it defines a quasi-iso, not a it's not only a collection of quasi-isomorphism of commutative DG algebras. It defines the quasi isomorphism of Hopf DG compounds. Just also the next observation that these results extend to all operas for all dimension n. The only change that you have to be made, so you have to consider a graded version of the Lanfranconi algebra opera, p hat n. And the only difference that in that case, in the general that you take, that you assume that the generators Tij are degree n minus 2, so in the case where n is 2, you just get 0, you get an ungraded algebra. In general, you have a, oh, that's not Tij, that's Tji. You have the symmetry relation when n is even, and then the symmetry relation when n is odd. Okay. And If you perform the changes, you have the same result, okay, for all dimensions.
Do the algebras have geometric meaning for n other than 2? Because for n2, this is graded of pure grades, right?
Yeah.
But for n3, for what is it? Is there some
group?
For n bigger than
3,
or equal to 3, the geometric meaning is given by the intrinsic formality theorem. So it says that if you realize what you get is the end to rational metrics. So for, I mean, even a plain statement for n larger or equal to 3, what you get is just the homotopy of the time, yeah, I can write this. So this is a consequence of a formality. P2, so I mean, the expansion of P2, if you take the expansion group, you get the merit self-completion of the Thurman group. You get the merit self-completion. In general, what you get is the rational homotopy of the configuration spaces. In some sense, that's a consequence of a formality state. Now, so this, use this result, so the claim that this, you can use this of corporate as a good resolution of the cohomology corporate. And as a follow-up, you can use it to compute the realization of this corporate. Okay, the core is this. You can compute the realization of a Poisson corpora, the n-1 Poisson corpora, by taking the morphism, so that's the comb, so that's comb. So the realization of this commutative DG algebra is just given by this set of commutative DG algebra morphism from the Schoenherr Hilbert cochain complex of P and R to the cochain DG algebra of the synthesis. Okay, so it means again, so it's a simplicial set, which means that in dimension n, you consider the morphisms toward the commutative cochain DG algebra of delta n. Okay? And if you want to get a space, then you just take the geometric realization of this simplicial set. Okay. And also, what I would like to say, that you can give you can give an order description of this morphism set, and it turns out that you can identify this morphism set with the set of this simplicial set of more Cartan elements in P and R. Okay, so this simplicial set of more Cartan elements, so the simplicial set of differential forms, gamma, so you have to consider a complete tensor point in general, so it's a tensor point of elements of this algebra, so it's substance, it's a form. So dimension n and dimension k, rather, because n is used for pn. So the case implicit here are forms defined on delta k and with values in pn r. And you have to see that these forms of upper degree 1, of cohomological degree 1, and satisfy the more Cartan equation. So it's very concrete. So it's a very concrete description of this.
And they're compatible for various r.
Sorry?
This gamma compatible for various r. For various r.
Right.
Is there some compatibility for various parameter r there?
Yeah, there are parameters. So that's for each. For each r, you get a space. And now if you take the correction of all the spaces, what you get is not part in space. This are part just realized. And you can also determine the structure of these guys by using this representation. Okay, maybe I can do that. So I start. So it's easy to get. So I start. Moment dk. Cross moment pH at L. And it turns out that this space of more Cartan forms, the Cartesian product, the space of more Cartan forms carries down some Cartesian product, so it means that you have an iso that way. I'm taking the direct sum of the linear geographs on the right hand side. So in one direction, just given by the, you just take one form here, one form here, you just take the form of the direct sum, and you can apply the composition of you can take the map induced by the composition product of this linear part to get an element in the set in the space of more Cartan forms in Tk plus A minus. This gives a product composition operation of this collection of spaces. So that way you get a concrete description. And there is another point, so that's in the case where n is 2. So this, some sense, this also gives a geometric interpretation of a linear algebra Pn. In the case where n is 2, so it's a standard claim that if you, so you get a linear algebra which is not valid. If you take the space of Baron Cartan forms on P hat R, what you get is exactly the classifying space of the exponential group of P sharp R, or equivalently the classification space of a group of group-like elements in the developing algebra of P R. So this is the classifying space formed off from groups to spaces. So you have a, so in some sense the spaces are for every larger or equal to 3, they are generalizations of this. I don't know much. So I can state the intrinsic formality theorem. So I go back to this statement again. So I want to prove a topological statement. So the claim that if I have a P not round in individual sets, sets or topological spaces, I need some assumption. I need to assume that P is confirmed, or otherwise I can tell the confirmed resolution. So I assume that R0 and R1 are reduced to points if you take into assumption. And then to the assume that the homology of rational homology of R, so it's the isomorphic to the Poisson of degree n minus 1 for some n larger or equal to 3. And it's if 4 divides n. This is my evolution. demonstrate that you can produce a map. So I can rephrase my statement. I can produce a map which induces a recurrence and derationalization. This variation of Poisson minus 1, which as I say can be given by this Morcarton space under part P. So there's a map. So this map is a map which is defined at the topological level and which realizes this ISO in cohomology. This map is to reduce one.
And the twiddle means,
sorry?
The twiddle means weak equivalence.
Weak equivalence.
Weak equivalence.
Okay. So this map induces an ISO and rational cohomology. This, in good cases, this is equivalent to saying that this map here is a recurrence. Okay. So you have an ISO rational cohomology. If you assume that there are parts, maybe I should say that I should assume that the spaces under every subpart are simply connected. Then you have a rational version of the right-hand theorem, which says that if you have a rational cohomology occurrence, then you have an occurrence, an ISO in rational cohomology. So the point that you have this statement at the topological level. Okay. But to prove this statement, you have to move to Hopf DG compound, you have to move to the model. Okay. You use this adjunction to transport this problem to a problem in the category of Hopf DG compound. Okay. And so the goal now is the following. So K is a Hopf DG compound, so which means I take K to be omega sharp of this R. Transport the problem in algebraic setting. And then so I take the same assumptions. Okay. And assume it exists that okay. So K. So the cohomology of K is the minus one Poisson corpora. And I have to pick so that case, so yeah. So I do not assume any coferentius requirement at this stage. So I'm going to pick a favorite resolution of this Hopf DG corpora. So I have to pick a good resolution of this Hopf DG corpora. And I want to pick resolution of the Poisson corpora. So in the previous slides, to get this realization, I was using the Schwellenberg cochain complex of the Drinfeld-Kono VHLS. But to prove a statement, I'm using another resolution, actually. And which I denote by R. And so the goal, so the goal is to connect this resolution here to this one here. Okay, to get this kind of rational formality equivalence. Okay, so you don't work with Poisson minus one, you work with some kind of resolution, any one actually. You can work in principle, you can work with any one. You have to take a ferment resolution of K, and you the map goes around. And the goal is to prove that if you have these assumptions, then you can produce there exists such a map. And actually the map is homotopically unique. Okay, I'm just going to give a very rough idea of the proof. So that's the translation of a topological statement in algebraic setting. Okay, so you manage to prove that. So we managed to prove the existence of such a map by abstraction methods. So So it'll be very quick. I don't know how much time do I have. So
it's a little bit negotiable, but it depends how much time do you need.
Maybe I'll continue. I'll be quick just to explain more findings in 5 minutes. And so for that, I have to deal, so to explain varieties of a proof, okay, which kind of problems we face. Okay. So this is something which Thomas is going to consider. So what we consider is a function space of maps of Hopf-Di corpora. So it's something which is abstract, which is different. So now I'm going to use some wide homotopy theory. So which is something which is defined in any good model category. So you have a function space of maps from R to Q. So it's a simplicial set. The vertices of this simplicial set are just morphisms from R to Q. Okay. So I've converted my problem. So this, I want to construct a morphism. And now what I want to construct is a vertex in this simplicial set. So I want to prove that this space is not empty. And I need to pick some resolution. And so I take something which is the totalization of a cosimplicial resolution of K. So this cosimplicial resolution of K of my Hopf corpora. So I perform some resolution choices. So as a favorite resolution of K, I'm taking the totalization of a cosimplicial resolution of K, which is a triple co-resolution of K. So it's something, so it's cosimplicial objects, and it's dimension-wise co-free as a corpora. And I'm doing a similar thing for the resolution of a Poisson corpora. I'm taking the geometric realization, an abstract sense, of a simplicial resolution of this of DG corpora, which is the co-triple resolution of DG corp. So it's a simplicial object, dimension-wise, it's a symmetric algebra. Okay, so the important feature is that this resolution comes from a co-simplicial object, and this one comes from a simplicial object. And now we have a general theory which says that if you take a function space on this resolution, it's a totalization of a diagonal of a bi-cosimplicial space. Okay. And what we are going to use is the general abstraction theorem, which says that if you want to prove the existence of something of a vertex in this space, we are going just to prove it that the co-homotopy or the homotopy of this bi-cosimplicial space vanishes in some dimension. And that's how we, so it's, so just to summarize, to sum up, that's a homotic, an abstract homotopical theory, which enables us to reduce our problem, yeah, to a standard abstraction problem. So I mean, we have a bunch of, just to sum up, we have a buff, so we are going to prove that this homotopy would vanish, as this homotopy would vanish. And for this, we are using a bunch of reductions. I'm going just to name the guys here. So you see this x dot dot is a bi-cosimplicial object, and the homotopy, the homotopy of the homotopy of this bi-cosimplicial space, it's a cohomology of a bi-derivation complex on this simplicial resolution of the source, and this cosimplicial resolution of the target. So it's some kind of, it's what is called, usually called the co-triple homology of algebra. So you have a general notion of co-triple homology, except that here we have to deal with two directions. So we need a triple homology construction in the co-homology direction, and a co-triple homology construction in the algebraic direction. In the case that this by a quadruple cohomology complex or whatever, can be reduced to some kind of deformation complex. Maybe I have the names here. Okay. Here, this complex is some kind of generalization for off the G corpora or the Gaussian number Schacht deformation by complex of bi algebras. So I don't know if you know the Gaussian number Schacht theory, but they define a some kind of bi-complex which controls the formation of bi-algebras. Okay, which controls the formation of upper algebras. And we have some kind of proprietary rank of this complex. Then the next step is to compute this bi-deformation complex, that where half complexes show up. And this graph, so it's something which Thomas is going to introduce, is in this talk. It's another model, it's another good model of the Poisson corpora. It's an opera made of half complexes. Term-wise, it's a symmetric algebra, if you forget about the differential. And it's quasi isomorphic as an opera. Actually, it don't work with a Dreyfus-Connolly algebra, with a Dreyfus-Connolly resolution, but however, this resolution. And the next step that we can check, so that's maybe by using Thomas' stuff, that this bi-deformation complex reduces to a cohomology of some extension of a conserved complex of graphs, where you, this episode 2, so that you are counting with graphs which have at least bi-deformations. In the case that this complex vanishes in H1, and so that's in good cases. Otherwise, we have to take this extra inversion of isomorphism. Okay. The conclusion that the obstruction to existence of a formality mass just vanishes.
So you say for N2 it's proven to be zero.
No, for N billion, that's important. Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Because what I would like to say, so maybe Thomas will go back to this subject in this talk. So in some sense, if you assume that N is 2, retriever, at this stage here, the second stage, retriever an obstruction complex which is closely related to an obstruction complex considered in Rheinfeld's paper. And already in Rheinfeld's paper, Rheinfeld raised a question whether it's a complex which concerns obstruction to existence of associators. And already in Rheinfeld's paper raised a question whether this complex vanishes or not. And that's what we are not able to prove. But if you change the dimension to 3, changing the dimension means that you regrade our complex. The cases which are approach obstructions in Rheinfeld's case are just moved to higher dimensions. And so, in some sense, the obstruction complex, the obstruction classes are spread differently. And that's why in our case, we just get zero.
Yeah, but it's probably easy because for n greater than 3, every such graph of degree 1 by valent vertex, and then you
exactly.
Know
just becomes degree continuing graph,
it's more than 2
is
horrible.
Yeah. Okay, so that's references. Wow. So the intrinsic formality statements in this paper, and the rational homotopy is in this book in preparation. Okay, you see the table of contents here. So that's a book which. So there are several parts, some introductory parts, where we have things which are already mentioned at some point in this workshop, for instance, the MedSafe completion staff, and so on. So it's, it's close to completion. I should put a final version within a couple of weeks on my web page. And I have some sample copies here, but I have to take them back, but just for inspection.
We inspect.
So thank you very much.
Okay, so Poisson N has sense not only for positive N, but for negative as well. So what can you say about, there is no topology, yeah?
We don't see any topology.
Or maybe there is,
maybe you have to move to a special context.
But is it intrinsically formal, En on the N0 and negative?
The point that's certainly
But still, we can formulate the question,
that case
about intrinsic formality.
In that case, you move the obstruction classes downwards,
Yeah, and
maybe it still is transitive form, because yes.
I think that for some cities it is, because they promote in the angle side, to move in the next
But
for n equal to minus 1, it not works.
Yeah.
That's for chi negative n, there is no...
You can still consider up for digital. So my point, I'm not insisting. So to get the intrinsic formality statement, you see you have this model, the op EG Copan model. You have the op structure, the commutative algebra structure, which determines the homotopy of the spaces. And I have a Copan structure, which determines the Copan structure of my spaces. To get the intrinsic formality statement, you have to put both structures together. Okay? So as a consequence, you get that things are formal either as spaces or as uprising chain complexes. But to prove that things are rigid, you reuse both things together, both solutions, both directions.
So you mentioned that this map is unique.
Yeah.
Up to a multiple. Yeah. For n larger than 3.
The point also for degree Conti, but you can check.
Yeah.
The homotopy spectral sequence of both field actually compute the homotopy of the guys.
Yeah.
And you can just look at the degree of the graph complexes. And essentially you can check. So there are some classes. I mean 4 divides n minus 1, but you can something like that. You can't remember exactly. You don't need any additional assumption to get the homotopy uniqueness.
Mm-hmm.
Because the space of math from R to this guy is connected.
But
actually it's almost unconnected.
What I want to understand, you'll tell me, somebody else will tell me if I'm completely wrong. For n equals 2, I thought GT of Q would act on the formality of the morphisms. Is it true that the formality of isomorphism are basically a torsor under GT?
Yeah.
Okay.
For n equals 2, what you get is that the set of associators just give the pi naughts of this.
Homotopy
isomorphism.
Exactly. So the isotopy isomorphism are a torsor under GT of Q. So it's completely.
You have to take T2 because.
Yeah, so that's where GT. So it's completely different.
Sure.
I mean, the situation for n larger than 2
is
completely
larger,
different. There is no deformation of the isomorphism.
But you can check that up to some classes which are well understood, things are unconnected. The spaces is unconnected. Okay. So if the classes which are, it's essentially it's unconnected. And so you have nothing in dimension 0, no homotopy degree 0, no homotopy degree 1, no homotopy degree n minus 1.
And you've no deformation of the isomorphism.
When you raise the dimensions, you raise the degree of the non-trivial homotopy. You raise the degree of the obstructions, and you raise the degree of the homotopy classes.
Okay. No questions? Thanks again.